Two icons of the world of dance, Isadora Duncan and Martha Graham, are credited with developing contemporary dance in the early 20th century. It was a reaction against the rigid techniques of ballet. Contemporary dance was free-flowing, lots of movement. You could use any kind of music, and you could join it to any other kind of dance. In one of her early performances to introduce contemporary dance to the public, Isadora Duncan was asked by a dance critic, after she had danced, what her dance meant. She replied, "If I could tell you that, I wouldn't have to dance." Like Isadora Duncan, "If I could tell you this morning what the Holy Trinity means, I wouldn't have to dance." This is my 36th sermon on the Holy Trinity. Every year since I've been ordained, I've had to preach on the Holy Trinity. Not because I wanted to, but because in the wisdom of the church leaders, they decided that there should be a teaching, a doctrine, a dogma of Jesus that should be enshrined and celebrated like Christmas and Easter and Epiphany and Pentecost. And I don't know about you, but I question the wisdom of church leaders that they would pick the Trinity. Now let's just stop and think for a minute. Think of some of the teachings of Jesus that you like, you know. Probably everyone you're thinking of would have been a better choice than the Trinity. Really. Let's just start out with do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, wouldn't that be a nice one? That would be a good one, wouldn't it? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Or, all right, well, let's look at one of the subjects that Jesus talked the most about. In fact, he talked more about this subject than anything else, and that was money. I've got a great one. Here's a really good one. Imagine this day. Jesus is teaching that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, 36 years of talking about that, we probably would have it figured out by now, wouldn't we? It probably would involve tax breaks. Well, or a blender, maybe. Think about that. Oh, I know. Let's go with this one, because this is like a really important question. This is an extremely important question. Remember that young man that ran up to Jesus and said, "Lord, Lord, what must I do to be saved?" Now, what could be more important than knowing what to do to be saved? And you remember what Jesus said? Of course you remember what Jesus said, because every time you hear it, it scares the bejesus out of you. "Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor." And we're like, "Are you kidding me? You want to date?" The Trinity doesn't sound so bad, does it? Yeah, maybe it was wise on the part of those leaders to select the Trinity. I don't know, though. You can't define it. You can't explain it. It is truly a mystery, the Trinity. And many people find mysteries unsettling. There are those folks who, after watching the magician, pull the rabbit out of the hat, they have no awe, they have no sense of wonder and no sense of magic. The only thing they want to know is what? "How did you do that, huh? How'd you do that? I want to know how you did that." "No, tell me, seriously, I want to know how you did that." And then you tell them it's magic. They go, no, it's not magic. I just you did something. I want to know what you did, right? But there are some things that truly are mysteries, and you cannot explain them. You cannot define them. You can't take the Holy Trinity and stick it under a microscope or dissect it in the laboratory. You can't even get it in the crosshairs of your telescope. Oh, but we Americans believe that science solves everything, right? If we just have enough money and enough time and enough hard work, we can figure out anything, including God, right? And then you know what we could do? Once we've harnessed and domesticated God, we can get a leash and walk God like we do our dog on a morning. That's what we really would like, wouldn't it? But we have something that's a mystery, and we can't by its very nature explain a mystery, but we can experience it. But we don't like mystery. And yet we live with mystery all the time. I want to tell you a mystery this morning. It started in 1969. A young woman went off to college. She was to be the first in her family to go to college. She chose a Christian college, having come under the influence of a church youth worker. Now, I'm going to stop right here because here's something that we should be looking into. There should be some kind of investigation of church youth workers. These are these people who take very impressionable high school students, like your high school students, and talk to them about life and service in the church. Wow, somebody should be looking into that. Anyway, she wanted to pursue a life of service in the church. But the community of faith she belonged to didn't have or allow women pastors. So her choices were narrowed down to being a deaconess or a teacher. So she decided to be a deaconess. What a worthy calling that is, and how excited her parents were for her. It was a wonderful thing to go off to be a deaconess. But what her parents hadn't anticipated was she would fall in love. Not only did she fall in love, but she fell in love with the wrong kind of person. Now, let me see if I can be charitable here. I hope I don't break the eighth commandment. I mean, but you know what I'm talking about, you know. If you're the parent of a son or daughter, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, seriously, how many of you were the first choice in your spouse's parents to be their spouse, huh? Yeah. One! Anyway, in the words of her mother, you're marrying a long-haired hippie, anti-war protesting hippie? Oh, wow. There is no accounting for love, is there? I mean, it's truly a mystery why two people fall in love. I mean, that's why I guess we call it falling in love. You know, it's sort of like you're just walking down the same old path every day. You know, you got the same dreams and the same schemes, and you're working on this and that, and suddenly you fall down the rabbit's hole called love. And people are looking at you going, God, what was she thinking? And your friends are saying, I didn't realize he was that desperate. The mystery of falling in love. But wait! We know what to do with a mystery, don't we? When you have a mystery, you make up a myth. Now wait, let's be clear about this. I am not thinking about the kind of myth that you're thinking about. I'm thinking about what is called an eternally true myth. An eternal myth is a myth that explains what happened to everybody who came before you, what's going to happen to everybody who comes after you, and what's happening to you right now. And falling in love is that. How do we explain the mystery of two people falling in love? Do I have to remind you? It comes around every February 14th, Valentine's Day. You know, we have this wonderful narrative, this myth, this story, but it's true for you, it's true for me, it's true for everybody who came before us, and everybody who will come after us. There is this man-child called Cupid, and has a quiver of arrows, and like an archer, bing, and when two of those arrows stick, those two people fall in love. Now, is there anybody here who really believes that? Of course not. If you do, see me afterwards for some pastoral counseling. But we tell that story because what? Because we have no way of explaining a mystery other than a myth. And so when we talk about the Bible and we talk about myths, we're talking about things that are true, my friends. Not only are they just true for you and me, but they are eternally true. It means that they're true for everybody who came before us, everybody who comes after us, and certainly for us. That's what we do. That's what we do. You tell a myth. However, we who cannot explain love experience it. And we who cannot explain the Holy Trinity experience God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We experience God as Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier. We not only experience it, but we can manifest it. That's part of the mystery too. Is that the love of God for us in Jesus Christ is something that we share with others. We share that with others. We share it every time we give a cup of water to the thirsty and a slice of bread to the hungry, a shelter to those who have no shelter. We do it every time we reach into our pocketbooks to support the mission and the ministry of a congregation. Money that goes beyond the walls of the congregation to help victims of tornadoes, hurricanes, injustice. It is not a mystery. It is truly a mystery that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. It is a mystery that God loved this world full of chaos, this world full of death and destruction. But God is here. And here's another part of the mystery. God is here in the lives of communities of faith like this one, Queen Anne. This is instructive to us for the manifestation of the Holy Trinity. We cannot explain it, we cannot define it, but we experience it and we manifest that love. Not everyone can see the Holy Trinity. Metaphors scare people. Myths will send people running to the attic to find their biology textbook. But you and I know that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is in this world. You and I know what it is to be forgiven and to give forgiveness. You and I know what it is to be loved unconditionally. And we know that we never measure up. And yet the gift of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is never taken from us. And what if the same Jesus was to appear? Would you see him today? Would you? I don't know. In a few minutes, you're going to find out. In a few minutes, you're going to find out whether or not you see the God who so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. I'm going to warn you right now, it's a metaphor. It is the mystery, too, of bread blessed, broken, and given, of wine blessed, poured, and shared for the forgiveness of sins. It is the only way that we can see the Holy Trinity, the only way that we can experience it. But that is to say that we do, and we have the ability to manifest it. It is as mysterious as it is sometimes to dance. I find one of the most helpful ways is to think this, that God comes down to you and to me, to the whole world, and simply says, "May I have this dance?" If you can't explain the Trinity, it's okay. Just go ahead and dance it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.